Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about this hour and next. Hopefully, you'll be there for both hours. You can call us 888-302-3684. That's 888-302-3684. We'd like to hear from you on subjects related to your health. If you have a question or comment, 888-302-3684 gets you right into the doctor's office for a personal consultation. And just to reiterate, our theme, intelligent medicine, means the best of high-tech medicine and the best of natural therapies. We put those together for you each weekend. We also have a wonderful series of podcasts that we encourage you to visit at drhoffman.com/podcasts. We're going to talk a little bit in our second hour about something really fascinating, great theme for starting the year when everybody's thinking about dieting and weight loss, and they're doing penance for the stuff that they overdid during the holidays. We're going to talk about a unique diet strategy called IF, intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting may be the diet craze of 2014. I'm calling it. And among the things we're going to talk about this hour, we're going to talk about, if you wake up, how many of you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? I mean, it's not something you want to talk about, but it's a common problem. It's referred to as nocturia. And nocturia, it's a nuisance because when you wake up and then you try to go back to sleep, it interrupts sleep, and it can really be a pain. So there's all kinds of medications that are given to relieve nocturia. And also, men undergo prostate operations. It isn't fun. But there's a new approach, a natural approach to nocturia that I think you're going to find interesting. It involves taking a simple supplement. 888-302-3684 is our number. And I want to start the program with something kind of fun, which is the power of the placebo. There's a headline in NPR News: half of a drug's power comes from thinking it will work. Now, when I was in my medical training, the word placebo was a dirty word. Sometimes when, one of our young, inexperienced doctors would say, let's give the patient this. And one of the senior doctors would snarkily say, that's just a placebo. That won't do anything. Give them some heavy-duty medication. That's going to really take care of the situation. Placebo literally comes from, I guess it's the Greek, which means I please. And the notion is placebo effect is something which is not real. It's not based on a real physiologic response. It is a response in the mind where you think you're better. And if you think you're better, well, then you might feel better. I mean, if you think you're getting something that really works, that's going to relieve the problem, especially in problems that are more like pain-related problems. And so they did a little experiment. Actually, I know the guy who did this experiment, Ted Kapchuk. He's a guy that I knew way back in the 1970s doing acupuncture up at Harvard. And he now does research at a place called PIPS. PIPS stands for Program in Placebo Studies and Therapeutic Encounter. It's pretty cool because it's at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, which is a part of Harvard Medical School. So if you have a very gifted child who is going to go to medical school, and perhaps you'll ask them, what are you specializing in up there at Harvard? Well, I'm specializing in placebo studies. What are you talking about, placebo studies? Well, no. There is an entire institute, a program in placebo studies. And why is that important? Well, the placebo really works. And we need to harness the power of the placebo. We shouldn't shun the placebo. We should say, oh, that's just a placebo. Forget about it. That's a mistake. That's an error. Let's discount that. No, it's actually very important. According to the study, it's in Science Translational Medicine. That's a highfalutin medical journal. It turns out that there was about a 50% response with a placebo in patients receiving a popular migraine medication. A placebo, there was a 25% decrease, but a mystery pill that was late that said it could be an active medication called Maxalt or a placebo, there was actually a 40% decrease in pain. And that is pretty exciting. What's interesting is that people even responded to the placebo when it was labeled a placebo. It's like, here, take this placebo. There's nothing in here, but go ahead and take it. People responded to it even better than people who got no treatment. So that's pretty crazy. It really means that the mind is very powerful in the process of healing. And so according to Dr. Ted Kapchuk, there's something going on here that we don't understand. It is important. And you know, we also think that this ties into a doctor's manner because doctors can enhance the placebo effect through the right kind of therapeutic interaction. You know, imagine like a conversation between two seasoned citizens. You know, I'm going down to Dr. Smith. He gives a great placebo. I'm telling you, when I go to see him and he gives me a placebo treatment, he is terrific with placebos. You really ought to go see him. The researchers found that patients were totally pain-free after taking a placebo version of the popular medication Maxalt, almost as good as the active Maxalt drug. You know, think about the importance of this. Oh, here's another condition where placebo plays a big role in asthma. Now, you might think, well, asthma, that's not a pain condition. How could you suggest to someone that their asthma is better? Well, asthma is there's a mind-body connection in asthma. You know, people who are short of breath, they've got tight breathing. They literally have constricted bronchioles in their lungs. But a proper placebo, you know, even using a spray or an inhaler, it's got some active ingredients in it, no question. But there's a big placebo effect, which, you know, is comforting. Child is short of breath in the middle of the night. Mom comes in, brings the inhaler. There's an expectation of relief. And the body goes into a healing process around the administration of the placebo. One of the points, some of the take-home points of this is, look, not that we should think that medications are without value, that it's all about placebo, but if you're thinking about a treatment for a mild to moderately severe medical problem, think natural therapies, because even if natural therapies offer a mild physical effect, they're not as strong as drugs, they can certainly engage the placebo response. This may actually be one of the bases for the response to homeopathic medicines which conventional medicine says, you know, there's nothing there. They're homeopathic. There's infinitesimal amounts of active material in these medications. So think placebo, not necessarily a bad thing in this case. All right. Also in the news this week, this is an interesting story because coffee. A lot of people are now reevaluating coffee. We tend to think of coffee as a bad thing. It makes your blood pressure high. It makes you nervous. It can give you heart disease, palpitations, insomnia, makes you anxious. But a lot of studies are now showing that coffee is good for the liver. It reduces the risk of liver disease. It may even reduce the risk of heart disease. It certainly increases mental acuity. But one of the things in the sports world that is often misstated is they say don't drink a lot of caffeinated beverages because they will dehydrate you. Now, some athletes like to use a little bit of a caffeinated beverage, either coffee or some kind of a caffeinated solution that's, you know, like supercharged prior to an event. But they've been reluctant to do so because they've been told it causes dehydration. Well, they just studied the effects of coffee and caffeine on fluid balance. And what they found is that moderate caffeine consumption doesn't lead to dehydration. During exercise, it actually may be beneficial for endurance performance. I have to say that I don't really like using caffeinated products, but sometimes during an ultra-long endurance event, like running a marathon, or once I was doing an 88-mile bike ride, just to push on, I needed something with a little sugar and a little caffeine to push my performance beyond when I was tanking, when I really felt like I can't go on. It gives you a lift, but does it contribute to dehydration? Moderate coffee consumption actually provides some additional fluid and does not lead to dehydration or significant loss of body fluid, according to the most recent study. It's 95% water, right? And water is good for you. When it comes to alcohol, however, it's a different story. You know, if you're out there trying to exercise and you want to throw back a couple of beers, you're actually going to get into negative fluid balance. It's ultimately going to be dehydrating. All right, we'll take some phone calls momentarily. 888-302-3684 for listeners. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I believe that skincare does not need to be complicated. Here's my simple program. In the morning, protect your skin with my daytime cream. Daytime is an SPF 20 sunscreen with niacin and moisturizers. In the evening, feed your skin with my nighttime serum. Nighttime has vitamins C and A, fruit acids, and antioxidants. And wash your face with Clean Time, my wonderful smelling soap that's made without SLS or preservatives. Feed, protect, and clean. That's all it takes to have truly beautiful skin. Skin that is smoother, less splotchy, and with less wrinkles. Order Dr. Perry Skincare by calling 855-940-1400 weekdays. That's 855-940-1400, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Use the RON1 code and receive a free second bottle of nighttime when you order a kit.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with four key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're here each weekend with you. We'll be taking your phone calls, 888-302-3684, and we have a call from Ray in Ithaca, New York. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Hoffman?
Good, thanks.
Great. Well, thank you for being out there. I am a mid-50s African-American. I have been a vegetarian since I've been a teenager. I'm height and weight balanced, really good, worked out my whole life. I've got no issues. Mm-hmm. I went to an excellent naturopath a couple of years ago for an issue that I did have, And he gave me a routine food intolerance blood test. And this is what he told me. I'm intolerant to two things. One is wheat plus dairy. I can understand that, I guess, fairly easily.
Yeah, that's pretty common. You know, it, for a lot of people, wheat and dairy do create problems. But are you a vegan or are you a lacto-vegetarian? In other words, a dairy-consuming vegetarian?
Yeah, I'm basically ovo-lacto on and off. I don't overdo it, but, you know, I've been doing this since I've been around 18.
Okay.
The other intolerance causes me a little bit of cognitive dissonance here.
Right.
I'm intolerant to fruit, and this on the face
all,
of it seems,
all fruit? It says all fruits or some specific ones?
Well, on the face of it, it sounds crazy, but he told me that I can eat melons and cantaloupe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just wanted to – I know that this is part of your practice that you do use food intolerance, and I just wanted to get a little more color on this as to, you know, what is the nature of the problem with fruit and intolerance. And given that I am really healthy in all other ways and I've been eating fruit all up until this time, can I safely ignore this or where does this sit?
Okay, and that's an excellent question. You know, look, when it comes to detecting food allergies, there's a variety of ways to go. One is to, you know, simply, you know, question the patient, you know, like, how do you feel when you take such and such? Or put the patient on an elimination diet, really put them on a very, very simple diet that's, you know, eliminating most of the allergens, and then add foods one by one, and then record the reaction. That sometimes works. But some food allergies are insidious. They don't produce an immediate reaction, so a patient can't say a patient who has low-grade chronic allergies to wheat may not have an immediate reaction to wheat. It may be that after eating wheat consistently for 10 days or 2 weeks, they feel schloggy and have gastrointestinal bloating and so on. So we use blood tests sometimes. We use the IgE RAST, but that's not very accurate. That actually only picks up allergies that are very dramatic and life-threatening. Pretty much you know when you have one of those reactions, like to peanuts or shellfish or to dairy. So we in our practice use the IgG RAST, and that looks at more slowly developing chronic allergies. But it's not entirely accurate. So sometimes I'll just discount the results of the IgG RAST. I say, well, it's not, that doesn't make sense. Rarely do we see people allergic to fruit on blood tests. Some people have problems with fruit on immediately consuming tree fruit. These are sometimes people who have allergies in the spring. They have spring allergies. They're allergic to the pollen from trees. And when they eat tree, do you eat tree? Well, yes, you do. You know, if you eat apples, you know, that's a tree fruit. You know, sometimes raw apples will cause people to have an itchy mouth, or raw peaches, very commonly. Peaches, apricots will cause an itchy mouth. But if you actually cook the stuff, that'll cook out some of the itchy properties of the fruit. Now, another form of fruit allergy is not really an allergy. It's an intolerance. It's a fructose intolerance. That means that you have the inability to digest a type of sugar called fructose. So it's a little bit like lactose intolerance in some people. Some people don't tolerate lactose. That's a milk sugar. Some people don't tolerate fruit sugar. They have very serious gastrointestinal problems, usually gas, bloating, indigestion. And when they reduce their fructose, they do better. And this is often, you see this in kids who have diarrhea or gas or bloating. They're drinking too much juice, which is full of fruit sugar, fructose. So I would say that you can reasonably ignore that dietary advice. I mean, where fruit becomes a problem is in people who are pre-diabetic or have syndrome X. They think that they, you know, because the U.S. food pyramid recommends that you eat plentiful fruits and vegetables, they chow down on lots and lots of fruits. They have a lot of juices. And fruit or fruit sugar actually increases triglycerides. You sound like a healthy guy. You know, look, in general, I'm not the biggest proponent of a vegetarian diet, but some people genetically are well-suited to that. They do well. They're prudent vegetarians. They don't eat they're not vegetarian junk food eaters who eat lots and lots of, you know, Fritos and chips and bagels and highly refined desserts. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're taking your phone calls. We've got lots more to talk about on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
If you're living with chronic dental health problems, there's not much to smile about. The surgeries, stress, the bills, all the frustration. But what if one day could erase your pain and suffering for good? What if one day could truly change your life? At ClearChoice, we not only perfected the art and science of dental implants, we brought it all together by putting a team of specialists and precise technology in a facility near you, so you can get a smile with natural, full-functioning teeth that feel great and look even better, all in one day. Whether you have dentures, bridges, or partials, dental implants can be the permanent solution you've been searching for. And no one creates a beautiful smile better than ClearChoice. Call 1-800-601-6665 today for your free consultation. We'll walk you through the entire procedure, including the one fixed cost. And in just one day, you'll be on your way. Call ClearChoice today at 1-800-601-6665. Qualified patients can have their procedure in one day after initial workup. Results may vary in individual cases.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. That is good advice, because if you miss a single solitary hour of intelligent medicine, you can indeed retrieve it. You can go to drhoffman.com/podcast. We had some excellent podcasts this week. We talked to an expert on intravenous vitamin C for cancer. That's an important area. We have our usual session with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin about, well, it's a Q&A about virtually anything you want to talk about. If you don't care to call the show, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. Also, emailing us to radioprogram@AOL.com will get you a newsletter subscription. Just state that you want to get on the newsletter mailing list. All right. The subject that a lot of people don't like talking about, but frankly, people get up a lot at night to urinate. I actually, things have changed in radio, because a few years back, I was given a copy on a natural prostate product that said, "Do you wake up in the middle of the night to urinate? Then use whatever, XYZ product." Probably had some salt palmetto in it, pumpkin seed, zinc, and all the natural things that help. And the station came back to me. They said, "Well, you can't say that. You can't say that word on the air." I said, "What word?" "Urinate." Well, the times, they are changing, because you can say a lot of, you can say a lot of things related to the male and female anatomy on radio. And so, let's get out of the closet. Nocturia, frequent urination at night. A lot of medication used to treat that. Popular meds are prescribed. Cause of great misery to a lot of people. Even sometimes necessitating surgery, prostate surgery in men, bladder suspension surgery in women. Big problem. All right, new study suggests that it may not be about your prostate or bladder, and there may be a simple way to alleviate nocturnal need to urinate. Headline: Nocturia linked to low melatonin. Melatonin is the substance of sleep. It is made in the darkness. Blind people, people with cortical blindness, they don't, there's some people who are blind, but they see images, they see light. But there's some people who just have zero. It's dark. It's a blackout. They make a ton of melatonin. People who are shift workers, in the daytime it's light, and at night they're under fluorescent lights, they have a deficiency of melatonin. If you are using your computer late at night, the last thing you do is you peer into a computer screen, and you're texting or you're reading with a backlit e-reader, you're going to abolish your melatonin, because melatonin is created in darkness. So it's important that you create a little bit of a dark oasis for yourself before you go to sleep to boot your own endogenous production of melatonin. But you can take melatonin from the outside as a supplement. It's helpful for jet lag. It's helpful for insomnia. And now it appears, according to a new Japanese study, that low melatonin levels are associated with increased likelihood of nocturnal urination in elderly individuals. Oh, by the way, one of the things that declines with aging, you know, a lot of hormones decline with aging, but melatonin production goes way down as you get older. It's a result of the aging brain. Part of the brain that produces melatonin is called the pineal gland, and it wears out as you age. They looked at 861 seasoned citizens in Japan, average age 72, and they measured their melatonin levels. Those who had the highest levels of melatonin had a 25% decrease in the prevalence of nocturnal urination. Right? In another study in Japan, they looked at 42 elderly patients, and this time, instead of measuring the melatonin, they gave them melatonin, 2 milligrams per day. And they compared it to a medication that's commonly used to reduce urination. But they actually found that after 4 weeks of treatment, the number of nighttime urinations was significantly decreased and quality of life significantly improved in both groups. But what's interesting is these sometimes powerful medications that help to suppress urination at night, they have side effects. And particularly in the old, in older individuals who are having a little bit of trouble with cognition and memory, they affect the mind. Yeah, usually younger individuals are pretty resistant to that. But you can actually worsen dementia with some of these medications used to reduce urinary frequency. So, hey, if mom or dad using one of those medications, you yourself are noticing memory problems, think melatonin as an alternative, because in this particular study, the patient-reported effectiveness of melatonin versus a popular one of those urinary drugs, there was no significant difference. They worked equally well. This is a fascinating perspective on a very common problem. All right, that's what we call an intelligent medicine solution to a common issue. And that's what this program is all about. We offer solutions. Our number, 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Are you worried about your kids and family having too much sugar in their diets? Then switch to great-tasting Spry xylitol gums and mints from Clear, the world's leading xylitol experts. Xylitol is a natural sweetener that has nearly identical taste to table sugar. It tastes great. Clinical trials have shown the dental benefits of using gum and mints made with xylitol after meals and snacks. Bacteria cannot break down xylitol, and this leads to less plaque and less acid to cause cavities. And Spry xylitol gum and mints are perfect for anyone on a sugar-restricted diet, as xylitol has a low glycemic index of 7 compared to sugar's level of 83. Spry xylitol gum and mints are recommended by dentists, medical doctors, periodontists, pediatricians, and many health organizations worldwide. Spry costs the same as regular gum and mints, and you get the added health benefits. Look for Spry gum and mints at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other natural products retailers everywhere.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Doctor of Heroes Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Well, you know, they say that if it's in a medical journal, it's got to be real. It's got to be factual. That's the basis of how we prove things in advanced science. And, you know, a lot of our new innovations in medical care will be based on what's called evidence-based medicine. It has to be proven. It has to be in a journal for you to be able to get the treatment. And, you know, whether it's a knee replacement or whether it's vitamin therapy, we rely on studies in well-respected medical journals to prove that something is really of value. And here's an interesting story. This comes to us from ABC News. It's about a guy who undertook a sting operation. He is an academic scientist who wanted to prove that you could write a fake study. Nothing about the study was real. It just seemed real because this guy knows how to put together graphs and tables and write in that, you know, scientific jargon that is so totally boring and opaque that only scientists and researchers can understand. So he created an entirely fake study with results that were trumped up. And then he submitted it to dozens of medical journals. And, you know, I got to say that some medical journals are a little more scrupulous than others. There may be some medical journals that exert a little more quality control, but there are some medical journals these days that operate on a profit basis. They are pay-to-play medical journals. And basically, you pay a fee, you get your study published. And this is something that you know, drug company manufacturers, the pharmaceutical industry can easily take advantage of. So this guy submitted this study to dozens of medical journals, and the fake paper was accepted. He said that it had bad data, it lacked rigorous testing. It was accepted at more than half of the medical journals where it was submitted. They didn't read it. They just said, does the check clear? It's like, okay, this guy's money is good. Let's put the study in. I mean, it looks good. I mean, why bother to read it, understand it? Does it make any sense? And that is a concern. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of people these days have access to the Internet. So they look stuff up. And then they can go to one of these journals, so-called, some of the less reputable journals. But, who knows the difference? I mean, there are journals with all kinds of obscure names now that offer free access to the public. And these journals say this, that, or the other thing is the bomb for whatever condition they might be interested in treating. And that may be equally applicable, unfortunately, to the supplement world. Easy to get stuff published these days. All right, let's talk about vitamin E. And hopefully these are good studies. All right, this comes to us from the Department of Sports Medicine and Nutrition at the University of Pittsburgh. Yeah, pretty legit place. It's about women with unexplained infertility. Big problem. You know, more people are delaying pregnancy. And so, you know, what is it? Do you have old eggs? What's going on? Who knows? There's so many ways that this can go awry that more and more people are expending big bucks on fertility treatments, IVF and whatnot. Headline, dietary antioxidant intake decreases time to pregnancy in women with unexplained fertility. What they found was that increasing levels of beta-carotene and vitamin C and increasing vitamin E levels was associated with a shorter time to pregnancy in these women who had trouble conceiving. And, you know, vitamin E doesn't get no respect, to paraphrase Rodney Dangerfield. It's gotten a lot of bad press lately, but there's so many ways in which it can be helpful. Here's a group of patients who are often very, very sick, chronic hemodialysis patients who are on kidney dialysis. Vitamin E improves lipid profiles in these patients. Now, these patients often have sky-high cholesterol, and it's very hard to lower their cholesterol, and they don't necessarily die of kidney disease because they can be put on dialysis, they can be artificially sustained, but they are very, very susceptible to heart disease. So vitamin E improved lipid profiles in this study of hemodialysis patients. And here's another one on vitamin E and antioxidants. In patients with knee arthritis, common problem. I mean, it's virtually a universal problem. Who doesn't have bad knees past a certain age? The concentration of vitamin E in the synovial fluid, that's the fluid in the knee, decreased as the severity of knee osteoarthritis increased. It was actually a very, very good predictor of how bad the knee arthritis would get. And, oh, here's one in healthy nurses. They looked at nurses, and they looked at their DNA. DNA, of course, is the biological code, the code of life, and DNA mutations and breakages can lead to cancer. I mean, that's the big concern, right? Your DNA gets screwed up, and all of a sudden your cells start replicating using a program that is faulty, and you get cancer. Well, they looked at a group of nurses who took 200 international units of vitamin E, and they found protection against DNA strand breakage. Now, what's of interest is, you know, these were oncology nurses. Now, oncology nurses, I would hate to be an oncology nurse because they are exposed to a lot of nasty medication. The medication, hopefully they're wearing gloves and they're wearing masks, but that stuff is in the air. They inhale medication, which actually can cause DNA damage. That's how it kills the cancer. And these chemotherapy drugs, if I were an oncology nurse, I would take a nice, consistent dose of antioxidant nutrients, in particular 400 or 800 international units of a mixed tocopherol vitamin E, to protect my DNA from damage. It's one thing to put these toxic drugs into patients, but being exposed to it as a nurse can be an occupational hazard. All right, Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. A couple of things in the news this week. You know, the flu is making its way around the country, and a fair number of people in New York area where I live are suffering from the flu, some of my patients. And they're trying to get the word out, you know, get the flu shot, etc. The type of flu is H1N1. But a funny thing is happening when they compiled a statistic on who gets the flu. It turns out that almost 50% of the people hospitalized for the flu are obese. And what that suggests is that may uniquely predispose you to being, not necessarily getting the flu, but being sicker with the flu, requiring hospitalization. So yet another toll of the obesity epidemic. Folks who are overweight, maybe, you know, slightly abnormal blood sugar, higher rate of inflammation because of the visceral fat promoting inflammation throughout your body. That's not good. All right, here, this is an interesting new study. Kava is it's a herb that sort of has become a little more passé with the advent of things like L-theanine. Kava is a relaxing herb. They actually use it as part of a religious ritual to chill out and have a spiritual experience in the South Pacific. And it's been used as a mild natural sedating agent. New headline, kava may help prevent lung cancer in smokers. The findings are compelling and merit further research to translate them into the clinic. Using the regular kava root has some benefits, but what they want to do is they want to purify and identify specifically what part of the kava offers these powerful anti-cancer effects. Very interesting sidelight on a popular herb. Well, thanks for joining us for this hour. Stick with us because we got more to talk about in hour two. We'll be talking about a popular new diet strategy for 2014. I know you'll want to join us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.